is a new sheriff in town. So, I just wanted to let you know that our lampstands are available. If you want them, you can see Jillian anytime after the service. Also to let you know, if there's some confusion about this afternoon's meeting, it is for anybody that is heading a department and maybe your assistant wants to come along with you. All right? So if you're heading a department and you have an assistant that you want to bring along, please be here at 4 o'clock. All right? Yeah, ministry department, sorry. If you are heading a ministry, sorry. Got to get my wording right. If you are heading a ministry, please be at 4 o'clock. And if you have an assistant you want to bring along, please do that. Also to let you know that after that, at 6 o'clock, there's going to be what we're calling a jam session here. So if you have an instrument that you can play and you want to bring it along, we'll get together and just get into the flow of how God wants to use us in the future in this church. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good day to be alive. Come on. Yeah. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I'm glad that you are here. I think we are constantly called to be joyful about being a Christian. We are constantly called to be that. And so this morning, I just wanted to ask you a question. If you had to ask Jesus to teach you something, what would you ask him to teach you? You can talk to me. Patience. Patience, but hurry up. Love. Something more practical that you watch Jesus do, and you said, oh, Jesus, if you teach me this.
How to be a better husband.
That's a good idea.
This guy is just scoring brownie points.
Right.
You know, the interesting thing is, if I was to ask Jesus a couple of questions, I'll ask him this. Teach me to heal the sick. Teach me to speak like you. Teach me to cast out devils. Teach me to raise the dead. Teach me to speak in parables. Teach me kingdom stuff. Teach me to walk on water. Teach me to calm a storm. Because if I was next to Jesus and I saw him do this miraculous stuff, I would want to, Jesus, after you go, can I carry on with this, walk on water and raise the dead and heal the sick and do some amazing stuff while you were there? So the disciples, Jesus had 12 disciples, they were observing Jesus during his ministry. And they decided to ask Jesus to teach them something. And look at what they asked Jesus to teach them. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah. Now that is something, to be honest, if I was there, I wouldn't have asked Jesus that. That's the last thing on my agenda of asking Jesus to teach me stuff. Teach me to walk on water? Yeah, I can get famous with that. Teach me to raise the dead? I'll become the best televangelist ever. Teach me to do some supernatural stuff. Brilliant. But teach me to pray? Who's going to watch me do that? How is that going to make me famous? How is that going to bring in the bucks? I want something, that will really shake the people and they will say, oh, Rocky, there's Rocky going. Your name, Jesus, wouldn't even be mentioned when I'm moving in this thing that you're teaching me. Because I'm going to just get it for myself. And that's the human tendency, isn't it? For us to want things that will always make us famous and put us on the spotlight and everybody will be talking about this guy that was there. I was hearing a story of Tim who got rid of his Harley because people were calling him the vicar with the Harley, not the vicar who knows Jesus. And sometimes our identity is in the wrong place. So these guys, listen what was happening here. When they asked Jesus to teach me to pray, they didn't just go out of the blue and say, Jesus, can you just teach us to pray? No, Jesus was doing that when he was praying in a certain place. So Jesus was in a certain place and he was praying. And the disciples saw him and then they said, Jesus, we noticed something about you. Like when it's early in the morning while we are still sleeping, you're gone. What's happening? And sometimes we tend to follow you and notice that you're busy praying. We notice that you love this thing called prayer. Why? Now, you know why? Because it is about communicating with the Father. I want you to get a picture of this. You're talking about the creator of the entire universe. The creator of this, who keeps this world going, now says to you, hey, if you come into my presence in prayer, I'll respond to you. What an awesome, just picture that for a moment. That this God of the entire universe is saying, I'll stop now because I want to listen to you when you come to talk to me. Think about that. Think about God responding to you because you came to him, because you want to talk to him. What an awesome responsibility, isn't it? But there's something else you need to know about Luke chapter 11, is because when Jesus started to teach them to pray, he basically repeated what happened in Matthew chapter 5. Now, Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 11 are two different incidents. In Matthew chapter 5, it's a sermon on the mount. He was just sitting on the mount and just teaching. And prayer came in there, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, they forgot what he said there on the mountain. Because he said it to everyone and his disciples were there. And now suddenly they're trying to figure out what's going on here? And they go up to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, we noticed this thing about you, teach us to pray. And they must have thought Jesus has got a special prayer for disciples. The 5,000 in the crowd, I teach them the Our Father one. But when I get my disciples together and they come to ask me, I'm going to give them a new one. No, Jesus didn't do that. He went back to the prayer that he taught them on the mountain. He said, and when you pray, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The same prayer. Now, I'm going to keep showing you this for the next couple of weeks because today we're going to talk about the I in midwife. And it's called the ministry of intercession. I'm so glad, you know, quite often when things start off in a bang, by the next week it all comes down slowly. I thought that might happen in this church, but last week we had 12 people at the prayer meeting. This week we had 12 again. How's that? So we're keeping it steady. We had a whole group of people in the worship team, the whole group of people were back. So it's going properly. So I'm calling you this morning that if you are available on Sunday mornings to come and join us in intercession, our prayer is for others. I is for intercede. Now, this scripture in Ezekiel chapter 22, it says, and I sought for a man among them. The first line is quite a scary line, isn't it? Because God had to look for somebody. Rather than us naturally just doing it, this amazing God had to look for somebody. And when he's looking, it's basically saying it's not being done. Because I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap. I'll give you a picture of it. This is a hedge. That's the gap. Right? You need to get in there and fill that gap so that hedge is closed up. Now, when I first visited the UK, I was taken around and I was quite impressed with these stone walls. Any one of you saw these stone walls? Did you know there's no mortar or cement on them? They are laid as is and they've been standing there for, I think, somebody can correct me, about 1,000 years now or 500 years or however long. Never been hit down, just placed there. Now, if you have to compare this hedge to that hedge, by the way, somebody said there's 4,000 miles of these hedges in the UK. 4,000 miles. That's how much of stone they used to build these things. And they're just not even a meter high. So if I were to talk to you about hedges, yeah, and you want to understand it better, then think about the stone wall and think there's a breach in it. And if there's a breach in it, it means that the sheep in that farm can escape and go out. And so God is saying in workshop, in this world that is created, there are gaps in it. And people are going to a lost eternity because that gap is not full. That gap is there. There's a hole that people are dropping out of because we decided that we want to play church rather than be serious about what our Christianity is all about. What does intercession mean? It means to come in between. What is intercessory prayer? It's a prayer for others, not for ourselves. All right? And what is an intercessor? Is one who takes the place of another or pleads the cause of another. Now, Jesus is our main intercessor. He is constantly and every day making intercession for us. Because we mess up, right? On a regular basis, we mess up. And Jesus is there saying, Father, I died for him. Father, I died for this person. I died for her. And now I'm presenting her before you. I want you to give one more break. One more chance. That's the intercession that God is making for us. Because sometimes we really mess up and we don't come back to God in confession and saying to God, we are sorry about what we have done. And we just continue to wallow in it and go deeper in it. As an intercessor, we listen, we love, we pray, we heal and bless. Now, this is a very famous scripture. Most of us know it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, meaning that if you want to stand in the gap, you need to be effectual and fervent, first of all. You need to come and you need to really be effective in what you want to do because you see a need. You see a problem and you say, I want to get into the gap and I want to make a difference. But it also of a righteous man. Now, we have a problem with that word there, isn't it? Because when I want to stand before God, I'm unrighteous. I'm a sinner. I struggle with a lot of things in my life. So how can an effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man come into play? How do you think that happens? Remember that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And when day you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now in Christ. So because you are in Christ, you are presented righteous. Yes. So the effectual fervent prayer of every one of us should avail much because we are righteous and our righteousness is in Christ and my position is in Christ and I pray from a position of Christ. Yes. That's a righteous position. Right? Genesis chapter 18 is a very sad story. Anybody knows what's the story here? When the angels were coming over to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? Look at how it starts. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. I love those two words there. Still stood. Or stood still. Still stood. Or stood still. Abraham didn't move. When he heard what was going on, because the message came to him, listen, God heard the cry of Sodom come up to him and he's about to destroy the city. Abraham decided, I need to talk to the Lord about this. Because I think if I talk to the Lord, something can happen. Abraham decided, he saw a breach in the hedge and he decided, I'm going to step in the gap and seal that breach. That's what Abraham did. Now you need to understand the story here because in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and go into this land that he's promising them. God never called Lot. God never called Terah. God never called Haran. God called Abraham. You know what Abraham did? Out of the goodness of his heart, because Haran died, who was his brother, he took Lot with him. And if you read from Genesis chapter 12 onwards, Lot caused a lot of problems for Abraham. That's what he constantly did. And now once again, he's causing a problem. This problem is, you remember there came a time when the men of Lot and the men of Abraham were having a fight. They were bickering and complaining about each other. And then eventually Abraham came to Lot and he said, listen, I'll tell you what. You take your men and choose whichever place you want and then we'll take the leftovers. First mistake Abraham made was doing that. Because God never said he's going to give Lot any land. He said, I'm going to give it to Abraham. So Abraham came out of the goodness of his heart. He said, I'll just compromise with you. You can have whatever you want. So Lot went and chose the well-watered plains, the Bible says. And part of the well-watered plains was Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he decided, I'm going to live there. And now the wickedness started to come up to God. And God knew that Lot was in there. And according to the Bible, Lot was the righteous person in there. That's interesting, isn't it? Because now Abraham is pleading. Lot and his family is in Sodom. It's going to rain fire upon Sodom. And I need to stand in the gap and intercede. Not just for Lot, but for the whole of Sodom. Can I go before God and say, God, please, I want you to stop this. If I go into Sodom right now, and if I find 50 righteous within the city, let's say the city has 45,000, like works up. And if I go into the city and I find 50, will you turn away from destroying it? And so he starts a negotiation. That's what intercessors do. They try to negotiate with God. And we can do that. We can go to God and say, please, I really want you to, what can I do for this? And so Abraham starts and he said, Lord, if you find 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place? And then Abraham is too sharp. And we can be sharp like Abraham. Because see what he says here. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing. So whenever you see God is about to do something, you go to him and plead to his good side. And say, God, I know your good side. And far be it from you to even do this. So please, can you, if I find 50 now, Lord, can you sort that out? And then he goes on to say, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Now he's trying to pacify God. He said, oh, you see, if I throw you up with a couple of words, maybe you'll come right, you'll change. And so God decides, okay, if you find 50 people there, I wouldn't destroy it. You know what that tells me? An intercessor can actually cause God to do something different if you stand in the gap and constantly cry out to him. Because that's what Abraham did. God was already ready to destroy the city. And Abraham comes in and he says, 50, Lord, if I find 50, will you stop it? And God said, show me 50. And so Abraham thinks, oh, God got me on this one. So he goes to negotiate again. He said, oh, Lord, if I find 5 less than 50. He didn't even say 45. You're so scared to say 45. He said, Lord, I still have to mention 50. So, Lord, 5 less than 50, you do the math. But if I find 5 less than 50, would you work a plan? And look at what God says. If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. I love intercessors. Intercessors just go before the Lord and he said, Lord, Worksop. This town called Worksop, I really want you to change it because WCC life is here. I really want you to cause revival to break out in this town because WCC life is here. Come on, intercessors, let's do this. And then he goes on to say, and he spoke again to him. And he said, Lord, if I find 40, Lord, what is it? Would you make a plan? And God says, okay, show me 40. You find me 40 in the city, I'll save the city. Then he decides, I can't keep going with fives here because, you know, that might cause a, take this chapter might get too long. So I'm going to just go in a bigger number. So Lord, what about 30, Lord? And then he says, let not the Lord be angry. I'll tell you, I'll guarantee you one thing. You can go a million times to the Lord and he'll never get angry with your intercession. You can go a million times before the Lord and he'll never get angry that you came a million times before him. He loves it when you come to him. He loves when you intercede on behalf of other people. So yeah, Abraham is saying, oh Lord, don't get angry that I'm going to ask you for another favor. What if I find 30 there? And by this time the Lord should have said, no ways, Abraham, you're pushing it now. No, he said, okay, find me 30. I'll let it go. Are you willing to go the distance? Are you willing to go the distance with God and say to God, I'm really standing in the gap for this person or for this, my street. I'm really standing in the gap for it. And then he goes and he says, okay, Lord, 20. So remember from 50, he went fives. When he came to 40, he said, oh, let me go tens now. And now he's sitting with 20. And then he comes and the Lord said, okay, find me 20. That's amazing, isn't it? You know what Abraham is doing? He's actually getting God to change his judgment on the city. Because he's standing and interceding. That's the power that God put in Abraham's hand. That you can now tell me to don't do, not to do this. And I'm willing to listen to you. So go and find me the 20. And then he comes back and he says, Lord, 10? Suppose there's 10 there, Lord. Would you make a plan? Would you 10, Lord? And then the problem is, God says, yes, find me 10. Because God knew the condition of the city. The problem with Abraham, and quite often with us, when we're coming to a place where we feel, oh, there's no hope left in this, we throw in the towel. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham stopped at 10. I think if Abraham went down to 2, God would have saved the city. That's my thinking. If he sat there and he said, Lord, if I find 2, because in the back of his mind, he already knows there's 2 there. Lot and his wife. So, Lord, if I find 2, will you save the city? Sodom could have been saved if he continued his intercession. But he stopped. The Bible says that he went away. The intercessor stopped interceding. The future of workshop is in the hand of each one of us in this room. Our intercession will bring about revival in this town. But how far are you willing to go? What's the distance you want to go on this? Are you going to come to a point and say, oh, I give up now? Are you at a place where you've been interceding for something so long and it's just not happening? And you said, Lord, listen, we are here 17 years later. For 17 years we've been praying, Lord, take us to the UK. We would have thrown in the towel long time ago. But quite often we as Christians, whom God has placed in that breach on the hedge, the gap, he says, stand in this gap, nobody else I got. I want you to stand in this gap. And somewhere along the journey you decide, oh, I can't stand here too long. It's getting cold, I'm alone, I just can't keep this going. And you decide to give up. Think about the time when you gave up praying for somebody, interceding for somebody, standing in the gap for somebody, and you're just not seeing results. And God is calling you this morning and he says, rise up. I want you to get back into that. I want you to come to into my presence and I want you to negotiate with me. I want you to really intercede. I want you to get serious about this. Because you see what happens. Let's say I said to you that every one of you, when you get into the car park after the service, I want you to remember, in my car boot, I have your name on a blank check. And when you're going home after the service, just pick it up. And then I spent 40 minutes up front here convincing you you should come and take it. Do I need to do that? If I said I have a blank check with your name on it and you fill in the amount, you would already be running while I'm talking here. Isn't it? Because you want it, right? I don't have to sit here for 40 minutes and convince you. That's exactly what God is saying to us. If you're an intercessor, if you're interceding for people, nobody has to convince you to intercede. Nobody has to convince you to pray. You're talking to this Almighty God, your Heavenly Father. Why do you need convincing in it? Why do I have to come and keep telling you, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray? And he's saying to you, somebody said to me, it's a hypothetical situation, but he said, when you get to heaven one day, God is going to take you to his warehouse. And he's going to take you into this warehouse, and I'll use Dan. He's going to take Dan into this warehouse, and he's going to show him about 55 million boxes that is unopened with Dan's name on it, all because Dan didn't ask for it. 55 million is an exaggeration, but you get the point. There's a whole lot of things with your name on it, and God is ready to give it to you, but you, I can't go pray for 1 hour. You know how long 1 hour is when you're praying? You know how long 1 minute is? I'll tell you how long 1 minute is. Depends which side of the toilet you're in. Are you waiting to go in, or are you waiting to come out? That's how long the minute is. And so what we tend to do is we tend to think, oh, I can't spend this whole hour with the Lord. I can't go on to this intercession. I don't want to really do that. I just don't have the time for it. Well, make time for it. Because if you don't want to do that, then all these things that God wants to do with you and in you and through you, you can't. Let me close with the story. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses goes up to the mountain to talk to God. And while he's up there, God gives him the Ten Commandments. But it takes too long. He's been up in the mountain for 40 days. The people in the bottom were getting restless. They said, oh, I don't know what's happening with Moses. He's gone for 40 days. I wonder if he's coming back. I don't know if he died up there. What's going on? And so they went up to Aaron. I want you to go read this when you get home as your homework, Exodus 32. It's a very fascinating story. Because what happened? They went up to Aaron and they said, Aaron, we don't know what has come up with this Moses guy. He went up this mountain. We don't know if he's dead. We need you to lead us. So Aaron said, yeah. He said, how do you want me to lead you? So they said, make us gods that will take us. That's exactly what they said. They said, we don't know what happened to Aaron, to Moses. We don't know what's going on in that story with him. But can you make us gods? So Aaron goes up to the people and he says, okay, pluck out all your earrings and your nose rings and anything that's gold and give it to me. So he takes this and he puts it into a furnace and then he takes it out and he carves this golden calf for the people. And he said, now this is your God. And then Moses could hear this noise in the camp. And God says to them, go down because this people that you have brought out of Egypt. See what God did there? He made it Moses' problem. He said, these people that you brought out of Egypt, they are messing around in the bottom. Go and sort that out. So he comes down and he meets Joshua because Joshua goes with him. And so he talks to Joshua. And Joshua said, listen, I can hear noise in the camp. But it's not noise of celebration. It's a strange noise. And so when they come down, they see this golden calf. So Moses, that's the time Moses break the Ten Commandments, right? He throws it down and then he walks up to Aaron and says, what's going on here? And Aaron said, well, these people, these stiff-necked people that we brought out of this land, they didn't know what was happening with you, so they wanted us to make these gods, make them a god. So I made this thing for it. Actually, if you go read the text, it's quite humorous because it says that I took all this gold. That's what Aaron says to Moses. He said, I took all this gold, I threw it into the furnace, and out walked this calf. Read it. It's in your scriptures. That's exactly what he said to Moses. I can imagine Moses looking at him with a smirk and saying, My. That would have been one miracle that I wouldn't have missed for the world. I would have loved to see that happen. But if you go earlier in the chapter, you'll see he fashioned it with his hand. But now he's saying, I threw it in the fire and outworked this. And then God says, I am tired of the stiff-necked people. I am going to destroy them. And Moses, the intercessor, what an opportunity, because God also said to him in the same chapter, I can start a new nation with you, Moses. Don't worry about this group here. I'll wipe them out with you. What an opportunity. I will say, of course, Lord. Oh, should I buy a new suit for that day? You know, you're starting something new with me. That's what we will do in our human strength. And Moses stood up and he said, no. Because if you do that, these Egyptians are going to laugh at you. They're going to say, what kind of a God is this? He took you out of Egypt and went to destroy you in the desert. And Moses stood in the gap and he said, there's a couple of times that Moses had to do this. And one time he said, if it so be, blot my name out. Remove me from the equation, but save this people. That's an intercessor. No self-glory, nothing for self-gain, everything for the benefit of the people that you are praying for. And this morning God is calling us and he's saying to us, you can take a walk down your street and you can intercede for just your street. Don't do too much. Just your walk. You go for a walk with your dog, pray for your street while you're walking. And you'll watch, suddenly your neighbors will open the door and say, hey, hi. Not because you knocked on the door, because when you prayed, God was working in their lives. And now they start talking to you. Try it. Every time you walk down your street, if you don't want to pray for your entire street, our street has got 126 homes on it. So we have to pray for 126 different families every day. But you don't have to do that. Take one side of the street, which is half of it, and walk on that side and just pray. As you go past, say, Lord, I bring this family unto you, and I'm praying that they will come to know who you are. They will make you the Lord of their lives. And I'm not going to stop praying for them until I see them come to you. That's the ministry of intercession that God is calling us into. Oh, you can choose 3 houses each time. Just the 3 houses next to you. And say, Lord, for this entire month, I'm just going to pray for this family. You know, for those of you who haven't taken enough of the magazines, We've taken a stack and we've been giving it out to people. And every single time we gave somebody one, there was a conversation starter. And we just stood with them and spoke as long as we can. These are just conversation starters that you can use. So go up to somebody with a magazine and say, oh, I'd like you to come and meet our new pastor or come to our church and see what God is doing in it. And just create conversations in it. If you are brave enough, ask them what to pray for. So you can knock at your neighbor's door and say, listen, we're from this church and we're going on a prayer expedition. Say that. We are on a prayer expedition and we want to make your request part of this expedition. What prayer request do you have? And take that and write it down. Put it in your Bible and pray regularly till they come knocking on your door and say, ah, that prayer we asked you to pray about, that issue we asked you to pray about, has been answered. But it has to be that persistence. You gotta keep going. Keep banging on it. Keep doing it. Not saying, oh, I'm tired now. If God is saying, I looked for a man that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge, that man is you. Now don't worry about the word man as opposed to woman. That person is you. God is calling you to be that person in that breach. You are praying for your husband right now. You are praying for your wife. You are praying for your marriage. You are praying for your children. You are praying for your neighbor. You are praying for somebody that is unwell. You are praying for somebody across the world. Bring everything before the Lord because you are the intercessor that God wants to use to make this happen. Will you bow your heads in prayer? And I want you to think about three neighbors this morning. You may not know their names, but think about their house numbers. You can just say, Lord, I bring house number 116 to you. And I see this person going every day with the dog. I don't know if they've even heard of your name. I bring this person to you. I really want to connect with them. Give me a connecting point with them. Oh, Lord, I bring John to you. You know John, Lord. You know why he is on my street. And I want to bring him up to you. And I want you to reach out and touch him, Lord. I want John to come to know who you are. And I'm going to be that in-between person talking to you about John every single time. What's the name of the person you are thinking about right now? What's the name of those three people that's on your street you are thinking about right now? Or maybe not on your street, maybe at your work. You got three people that you are concerned about and you want to intercede for them and pray. Bring them up before the Lord. Father, we thank you that we count it a privilege and an opportunity to be called your children.